So back in 2008, 9, 10, 11, you could find good deals everywhere. They were all over the place. You could just find them. You walk outside, you stub your toe, and you're like, oh, it's a good deal. And then you buy it, right? They were everywhere. Today's market, you do not find good deals. You either make good deals or you hunt for good deals.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. Episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools and make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and with me today is Brandon Turner, the all-famous Brandon Turner, Bigger Pockets. Most of you have probably heard him before. Brandon, how are you doing today?
Man, I'm good. I don't think I've ever been called famous before, so that's great.
The all-famous, yeah.
All-famous. My ego is just getting wonderfully boosted today, so thank you.
So, first of all, I think we have to qualify where you're at today.
I am in on the island of Oahu over in Hawaii, trying to spend the winter here, maybe longer, maybe shorter. I don't know. I really like being here. And, you know, the great part about rental properties is, you know, like, you don't have to live where you invest. And so we built the systems up that, you know, the rent still gets paid when I'm not there. So that's kind of fun.
And so your wife allows you to go over to Hawaii with your child.
Yes.
And she doesn't complain about it, huh?
You know, she is somehow she's okay with being in, you know, on the beach when it's 30 degrees and pouring rain back at home.
So, perfect.
Yeah, she's okay with it.
Yeah. Well, awesome. So for those of the audience that doesn't know who you are, can you tell us just a little bit about who you are, what you got going on, and how you are able to spend time in Hawaii?
Sure. So my name is Brandon Turner, and I got into real estate back in 2007. So it's been like 11 years now. So I was like 21 years old at the time, and slowly built up my portfolio. Have 96 rental units right now, spread out over three states now. That includes a mobile home park over in Maine, the apartment complex I just bought in Cincinnati, thanks to your help on that one, and or your recommendation and help. And then the rest of them are located in Grays Harbor, Washington, which is where I'm technically where I live, though I like to pretend that I live in Hawaii now. So that's where I used to live, in Washington, where it's rainy. So, yeah, so that's my story in a nutshell. I can go deeper or shallower if you want.
Well, let's talk about, so how did you decide to get into real estate? What made that kind of attractive to you?
Man, so it was like, I like to say it was John Grisham. You know, the author John Grisham wrote like The Firm and all those books, like he writes all the lawyer books. So I'm gonna blame it on him that I'm in real estate, because I was gonna go to law school until I read a bunch of John Grisham books like when I was 20, and I was like, this sounds awful. I got to work for like what it, and it's like, obviously it's a fiction, the fiction books, right? But what it made me realize is like the life of a lawyer, like, was get out of school. And unless you like, you know, land a really, really good job, you're probably making $50,000-$60,000 a year. And then if you stay there for the next 10 or 15 or 20 years, maybe you'll get partner. And if the firm is still there at that point and you put in all your hours and you're working 70, 80, 100 hours a week, you might be able to be wealthy. And like, that's like, I was like, that sounds horrible. And at the same time, I bought a house and I fixed it up just kind of like, cause I needed to live somewhere. I fixed up, I sold it and I made 20 grand. And I was like, that was the best money I ever made. I made more than a lot of lawyers make coming out of law school. And I did it on like inventing money out of like thin air. And I decided not to go to law school, decided to flip houses, which if you remember 2008, that wasn't a great time to flip houses. So I ended up with a bunch of rental properties and decided that that was way better.
So you're an accidental real estate investor.
I am. Yeah.
You didn't do it. It seems like a lot of people read Robert Kiyosaki. Instead, you read law books or
I did
fiction books.
What I always say about the like Rich Dad Poor Dad, I did read it eventually. And I love that book. But what it did is it put words to what I would say about Rich Dad Poor Dad. It put words to like the groaning that was in like my spirit. You know, like I knew there was something else out there, and I knew that it was with real estate, and I could kind of figure it out. And I started buying some stuff, but I didn't quite get it until I read that book. And I'm like, oh, that's it. Like that's what I'm feeling. That I know there's another life than the slave it away at a job. And but yeah, I credit it all to John Grisham. Someday I'll meet him and I'll tell him that.
There you go. Thanks to you, I'm not a lawyer.
Yes.
So you got all these rental properties, and you also are part of Bigger Pockets. How did that come about and your role in that?
Yeah, so that actually came because back when I was looking into it, very first deal, I told my dad that I wasn't going to go to law school anymore. I said, you know, like, this doesn't sound right for me. I'm going to instead become a real estate investor. And he said, that's a horrible idea. He's like, Brandon, you're going to lose everything. You're going to end up broke and homeless because your tenants won't pay rent and you can't afford to pay their rent for them. And I was like, Dad, you're right. All right. So I was like, all right, I guess I won't get into real estate because he's right. I mean, how do you get past that logic of I can't, I'm poor. I don't have any money. I'm a poor, just out of college kid. So I typed into Google what to do when tenants don't pay rent. Cause I'm like, well, somebody's got to figure this out. And I found an article on this little tiny site called Bigger Pockets. And I was like, oh, there's actually answers to all these problems people have. And so that turned into just me consuming every bit of information I could. And then that turned into me volunteering to write for them. After I kind of built up my portfolio, I retired, so to speak, from corporate life. I worked at a bank for a while and that was horrible. And all the while I was building up my rentals, but eventually I had enough rentals. I could quit my job and didn't have to work anymore there. And so that's when I started blogging online and I started just volunteering to write articles for Josh Dorkin, who's the CEO of Bigger Pockets and who started it. And then me and Josh became friends. And then that led to the podcast and that led to book writing and everything else that I've done today now there.
Cool. So, that's awesome. Yeah. So you're kind of, am I right? You're the inventor of the BRRR, or how many R's? I don't know that there are, but you're the inventor of kind of that terminology. Is that correct?
I put the title in a blog post. Yeah, BRRR. Because what I always find funny is that whenever somebody explains something, because I'm a marketing guy like that. I mean, my job title right now is VP of marketing at Bigger Pockets because I like marketing. Whenever somebody has to take more than like 3 seconds to explain something, I'm always thinking, how do you summarize that? So people are like, oh, what I do is I buy real estate and then I fix it up and then I refinance it and I, you know, rent it out and refinance it. And so like I took it and put a name to it, BRRR, and then people seem to really like that name. So kind of got catchy.
Yeah, it's stuck because I hear people talking about it all the time now. And that's how I built most of my rental portfolio was through the BRRR strategy. I just didn't know it had a name to it.
Yeah, nobody. But the funny thing is when you name things, people think it's yours then. So it's like, yeah, I invented BRRR investing. You know, I'm the original BRRR. Todd must have got it from me.
See, I thought I was the inventor. And then all of a sudden.
Exactly. Right? You got to put a name to it. You could have called it like Dexheimine or something like that. And then it would have been like a verb, you know?
Perfect. So is that how you built your portfolio then? Is through
doing
that?
Yep. Yeah. Essentially, almost everything I ever did, I would buy it with some kind of private money or hard money. I started out with hard money, moved over later to private money. I would buy the property, always looking for the nastiest property in the best neighborhood. Sure. And then I would go in there and I would rehab it. So I'd fix it all up. And I did a lot of my own work at the beginning. I don't do it anymore, but I did a lot at the beginning of my own work. And then once it was all fixed up, I'd rent it out, get some really good tenants in there. And the beauty of that is that, like when you fix up a property, you typically have less repairs for years after because it's already in great condition. And so I did that. And then I would go to a bank and be like, hey, bank, I got this property here. It's in great condition, great tenants. Look at the money it's bringing in. Look what it's worth. Can I get a loan for, 70% of that? And the bank's like, sure. And then they would give me a loan. And then I'd pay off the private lender, HUD-REIT lender, and I'd get all their money back so I could go and do it again and again and again. Yeah, I would. Every single thing I've ever bought, I think pretty much without fail, has been somewhat of a Burr variation of it or very directly.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
So then recently you just mentioned that you bought a mobile home park in yep. Maine and yes. then you bought an apartment building in Cincinnati.
Yes.
Take us through those two transactions and how did they come about and why Maine sure. and Cincinnati, and you're in Washington/Hawaii.
Yep. Yeah. So I had a 1031 exchange to do, which means I sold a large property. I sold a 24 unit and I had to take about $200,000 and put it somewhere. And I had 45 days to pick out whatever property I'm going to buy. Right. And so I'm like looking around my local area, could not find anything. I live in a very small area, Grays Harbor, Washington is very tiny. So not a lot of transactions happen. So I didn't know if I'd nail it in 45 days. So I said, okay, well, I have to look elsewhere. And right about then I had this guy named Todd on the Bigger Pockets podcast, and he mentioned how he was doing, this is you, by the way, in case people don't know, we're done investing in Cincinnati. And I'm like, I never thought about Cincinnati. I wonder what that's like. So I started reading about it, looking into it a little bit. I talked to you about it. I think I called you and, I'm like, okay, Cincinnati could be a good market. So you hooked me up with some, people there that were in the area to kind of start asking lending questions and agent stuff, looking at deals, running numbers. And I realized Cincinnati is just like my market, so I understood it. It's a very blue-collar area. My area, like I live in, is very blue-collar. And the prices were almost identical, just it was 100 times bigger. So like the chance of finding something was so much greater. And the thing that you told me on the podcast that really probably made one of the biggest impacts on my life, I don't know if I ever told you this, is that you said like qualify the location first and then pick, then go after properties. I was doing the opposite before that. I was looking all over for whatever I could find something somewhere. And you're like, just find the location. And I said, all right, Cincinnati works for you. Why don't I just like steal your idea and just see if I can find something there. So that's how I picked the location is based on that. So Cincinnati, I started focusing on it. I started looking at deals, trying to understand it. The way I actually got the deal, though, came from another Bigger Pocket sort of connection. Are you familiar with Joe Fairless?
Yeah.
So Joe's got a podcast out there as well. And so what I did, I went to biggerpockets.com/meet, which is like a searching, you can search all over the country for people. And I typed in the zip code for Cincinnati and a bunch of people came up and one of those was Joe Fairless. And I was like, oh, I know Joe. Joe's been on the podcast and, I didn't know he was in Cincinnati. So I shot him over a private message and said, hey, I'm just, letting you know I'm trying to buy something in the area. If you have any advice or tips or you know any deals, let me know. And he wrote back, great. I don't know any deals offhand that would interest you, but I have a good friend who's an agent. Who might know something. So he connected me with this guy who's also a VP, Bigger Pockets member. This guy then brought me an off-market deal. I said, hey, I know this guy was trying to sell his property a while back. I think I could probably go to him again. And it sounds like it's exactly what you wanted. I said, great. So he negotiated everything and we ended up buying that deal from that connection, which was good. I mean, I paid, I think it was $610 for 24 units. Average rent right now is around $450, but I think I can get it up to $550, maybe a little bit less or more, depending on how much work I want to actually put into the property. But
cool.
It's fairly stable to begin with, which is nice.
That's a cool story. I mean, reaching out and networking, and that's the power of that. And through a site like Bigger Pockets, I mean, that's a powerful site as well. So
yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah, so then how about that Maine property?
Yeah. So that one came, here's a funny story with that one. So, I'll tell the whole story, but I'll try to summarize it. A buddy of mine asked me to speak at a conference. The guy I know asked me to speak at a conference. I said, sure. I have a hard time saying no to things. And so I said, sure, I'll fly across the country from Washington to Baltimore to speak at a conference, which I probably shouldn't have done, but whatever. Anyway, a month or two later, at the same time, I tell my buddy, another friend of mine who lives in New York, hey, I'm coming out to your area. Not Baltimore and New York are that close, but close enough. I said, hey, you know, and he said, hey, can we do a real estate meetup? Like, and you come speak at it. I was like, all right, I'll be there anyway. Sure, why not? Well, then the conference got canceled, just went out. So then at that time, my other friend from New York was already advertising this event. So I'm like, I got to go then. Can't just just because my other thing fell through. So anyway, so we went out to New York. I spoke at this event. Maybe 100 people showed up. And while I was there, and not just while I'm there, I've been doing it everywhere I go for the last year. I've been telling everybody I want to buy a mobile home park. That was my goal for 2017, was to buy a mobile home park. So anyway, I get there to the event. I speak there. I talk about what I'm doing. It was fine. On the flight out to New York, my baby threw up all over my wife, and we had a red-eye flight. It was the worst flight of my life. None of us slept. The next day, I had to interview Grant Cardone, and I couldn't find a place to do it, and I had to go find a random – yeah, it was horrible. Trying to find a random hotel lobby to, record in. It was so bad. It was, the worst trip of my life. I mean, it was the worst trip of my life I've ever taken, ever, hands down. And I just kicked myself the entire time of, why am I here? Why did I do this? Like, why can't I just learn to say no to people and not do it? So anyway, then a couple weeks later, I get an email from a guy who I know. His name's Ryan Murdoch, who's been on the Bigger Pockets podcast. And said, hey, I heard you were looking for a mobile home park. This deal just came in my inbox. A guy that I know is trying to sell one. And I looked at it. The numbers were solid. And I said, well, I'm not buying a mobile home park across the country if you're not going to partner with me on it. And he said, all right. So we partnered on it. Brian and one more partner as well to help fund a lot of the deal. And we bought it. The only reason, again, I would do that is because this guy lives in the area. Yeah, I mean, you can't get farther away from Hawaii, and I knew I was going, than Bangor, Maine. I mean, it's like clear diagonal opposites of the U.S. So we closed on that, and that's been fantastic, just having him there, boots on the ground. But the reason that connects with that story of going to New York is because I find out at closing, when we're closing, the guy tells me, oh, by the way, do you know how I knew you were looking for one? I saw you speak in New York City at that meetup, and you mentioned there that you were looking for a mobile home park. So when this deal came across my desk, I thought of you. So moral of the story is you never know where you're going to get the deal from. You know, just by being open to opportunities that exist. And it might have been a horrible trip, but now it's thousands of dollars a month in cash flow off of one deal because I made that trip, you know. So anyway, be open to opportunities that exist. Tell everybody you know about what you're looking for, and people will find a way to get you what you want. If they just know what you want. So I'm very vocal about what I want.
So I met Ryan.
Cool.
Last weekend.
Oh, at the Joe Fairless thing.
So I'm talking to him. He says, about a mobile home park in Maine. And I go, I don't care. You just bought a mobile home park in Maine. When did you buy yours? He said, I can't remember what he said. And I said, huh? He goes, do you know Brandon Turner? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh yeah, he's my partner.
That's hilarious.
That's too funny.
That's funny. Yeah. Small world, isn't it? It's a small world, this investing thing. But, yeah.
But no, what you said really is true though. I think, you know, so many people looking from the outside in at people who are successful and are, you know, getting lucky all the time. They think, oh, they just got lucky. They got the Midas touch or somehow. Yep. How are you getting all these deals, or how are you doing business with these types of people? And it's like, well, it's not just out of pure luck. I mean, they're setting themselves up for it, just like you did. You spoke at an event. You wouldn't have got that property in Maine had you not spoke at that event.
Yep.
And you put yourself out there, and that's exactly what you said. You're going to get deals. You wouldn't have got that Cincinnati property had you not reached out on Bigger Pockets, had you not taken that initiative. And so many people just don't do that, and they wonder why they can't find a deal or why they can't do any business.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because people today, I think everyone learned, all right, so back in 2008, 9, 10, 11, you could find good deals everywhere. They were all over the place. You could just find them. You walk outside, you stub your toe, and you're like, oh, it's a good deal. And then you buy it, right? They were everywhere. Today's market, you do not find good deals. You either make good deals or you hunt for good deals. You have to go into the woods and go hunting for them and spend days in the woods, getting dirty, and you might find a good deal. Or you make a good deal by finding something that's nasty and somehow find a way that nobody else has seen potential there, and you put it that together. But really, yeah, it's just like that old, I think Seneca has a quote from the old like Stoic philosopher, like luck is where preparation meets opportunity. Right? Like I was prepared for that opportunity to come my way, but also like constantly put that out there. Like I need this, I need this, I need this. And telling everybody, you know, again, it just, there's this really great story. I heard recently, like a psychologist, I think his name was Richard Wiseman, did this thing where he took people and he asked them if they were lucky. Before the experiment, he asked them if they were lucky or not lucky. He gave them an option. Are you lucky? Are you a lucky person? Or are you not a lucky person? And then he had every single person read a newspaper. And he said, I want you to go through and find every single, I think it was like every truck or every picture of a car in this newspaper. And he'd make them all go through it. And on average, it was like the people who said they were unlucky on average took like 22 minutes to find all the cars and there were trucks or whatever it was. On average, the people who considered them lucky took on average 3 minutes to find them all. That's shockingly different, right? And so the question is, how did that happen? How did the people who are lucky, did they read faster? Here's why. On the front page of the newspaper in big words, he had printed, there are 32 cars in this newspaper. And so the lucky people like naturally attracted luck to them by seeing that, right? Based on their eyes being open to opportunities, open to unfairness, open to crazy coincidences, whatever. Like, in other words, they were open to receiving luck when it came versus people who consider themselves unlucky were not. They were blind to that. They consider like there are no lucky breaks, right? So it's almost like you make your own luck by thinking you're lucky, or by at least thinking positively. And like, I hate that, like kind of like think positive kind of thing. But there is like a, when you have that right attitude that the world wants to help you and that, you know, like everything's out there for the taking, a very abundance mindset. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you get luck, how you get opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah. The world's not out to get you. I got news for you.
Yep. The world is not out to get you.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, that's exciting. So now you got these two deals. And I remember you actually talking, I think when we did the podcast together, you mentioned on Bigger Pockets, you mentioned that you're looking for a mobile home park. So yes. you were just looking at everywhere. You're telling
everywhere. Yep. I tell everybody, you know, mobile home parks are not like the end all be all. I think they're fascinating, right? Because like, ideally you own the land and somebody else owns the house, which means they do their own repairs. So if there's one thing I hate more than anything else in all of real estate, it's contractors. I hate them. And like, I hate dealing with them. Right.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, if I own the park and the houses people own their own, then maybe that is a, you know, an easier way to get around not having to deal with contractors. So
yeah.
So we're trying that out right now. We'll see.
Cool. Well, that's exciting. I hope it goes well. Thanks. Let's dig in a little bit to what's your biggest mistake that you've made so far and how did you learn from it?
I'll tell the story of, I bought a duplex that I decided to flip. I was watching a lot of flipping shows. This was back in maybe 2009, somewhere around there, right after getting started. And they found this beautiful duplex. Well, I mean, it was nasty, but it was in a beautiful location and it could be beautiful. And I was excited to flip it. So I went in there and my wife and I, every day for almost a year, we're over there working on it. I mean, we tore out the staircase. We turned it into a single family house. So we built this grand staircase up the middle. You know, I installed hardwood floors throughout the whole thing, travertine tile in the kitchen and bath, and granite countertops and everything. It was amazing, right? And then we put it on the market and it sat for a solid year. Could not sell. And at the end of the day, we ended up losing, I think it was like 10 or 15 grand or something like that on this deal. After all the holding costs and everything. It was horrible. The thing, we listed it at like 170 and it sold for 120. And so like, I just lost all this money. It sucked. I learned a couple things out of that one. First of all, when I analyzed it, I maybe didn't include like holding costs and I assumed the best of everything. So I'm like, oh, I can sell for 170 because no other house has sold for that, but this is going to be better than any other house. So I'm going to assume the best that somebody will pay more than, you know, normal. I had a hard money lender look at the deal and he said, no way, I will not fund this. This is not a good deal. And I said, well, screw you. I'll find another way to do it. That I probably should have listened to experience, that when he said this was not a good deal, I should have been like, okay, well, you know, what would you do? You know, teach me, you know, I'm new at this. And I didn't, my ego was like, no, I'm flipping this thing. Also, I honestly, I should have kept it as a duplex. I should have ran the numbers that way. had I kept it as a duplex today, I'd be making almost $1,000 a month in cash flow on that one.
Wow.
Yep. Instead, I lost 10 grand because I wanted to do something weird and different and TV worthy, you know? So
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't need much to make it a duplex. Just paint and carpet. It would have been a fine duplex. But
so you, what's that? So you lost out on $96,000.
Is that what it works out to?
About.
Yeah. Crazy. It was a messy deal.
I mean, just think you could have a $96,000 sitting there in your wallet right now.
Yeah, I could. I know.
No worries.
All that lost cash flow is so sad.
I don't worry. I've been there plenty of times.
And you know, like, I'm pretty sure I've told that story a number of times on BP, and I wrote a blog post about it. I'm pretty sure I probably, hopefully, saved more people from making that mistake than make it all worth it in my head. Like, I'm like, oh, it was worth it. Maybe that's just a story I tell myself to sleep at night. But
yeah.
You know, well, you learn from things, you know?
Exactly. As long as you learn something from it, that's all that matters, really.
Yeah. I also, on that one, more than that, I blew my budget like crazy. I would highly recommend people, if they're going to, you know, go do a big rehab project, like, get some help estimating the rehab costs. Like, I should have gone in there with some contractors and had them all bid it out and gotten some solid prices and then had them go at it instead of like, I'll do it myself and I'll, you know, no, horrible idea.
You know, it's so easy to underestimate your budget on a renovation. And I don't care how much experience you have. It's just so easy to do it. So easy to miss a few things. And if you do that, you can get yourself in trouble quick. So yep. Having help is having somebody else to double check it. Having a hard money lender to tell you that you're off on your numbers is a good thing. So,
yeah, definitely.
So I want to talk a little bit about, because you've interviewed a few hundred people on Bigger Pockets, some very high performers. So I want to kind of dig into that a little bit. What are some lessons that you've learned from that podcast that you can impart upon, you know, my listeners here?
Sure. So I did a webinar recently where I summarized like what I've learned. Like, there's seven things that I've learned that really separate like the top performers out. I'll just run through the list if you want real quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, cool. So the top performers consistently, I'll say the whole phrase and then we'll go through each one real quick. They consistently and persistently, so consistency and persistence, focus is a big one, on the vision. So they have vision with enthusiasm and luck because they have a strong purpose. Is that right? Consistency, persistency. So consistency, persistence, focus, vision, enthusiasm, luck, purpose. Those seven things I find like over and over and over those themes come up. So in other words, consistency is doing things over and over and over again. And sometimes that's boring, right? Like, I got to go analyze more deals. Like, every day I try to analyze a deal. Like, I hear that all the time from real estate, like the really high performers, they just show up and they just do the same thing almost all the time. Like, they don't have a very, like, it's funny, the flipping shows, right? It seems like every single house flip is dramatically different from the others. But in reality, most successful, like, flippers I know, like, landlords I know, their properties look identical pretty much. They're all in kind of the same area. Like, it's not that crazy of an industry. It's pretty repetitive. And so the top performers are pretty good about being consistent about it. It's the thing, you go to a gym one time and then you go a month later, you go back to the gym and try another machine. And then a month later you go back again. So like, that's the analogy to like people do in real estate. They just randomly will do one action here and there instead of consistently working on it. So I always tell people, like, attempt to set aside 15, 20 minutes every single day, 5 days a week, on your calendar to work on your business. It's like tortoise in the hare, right? So that's the first thing. Consistency, persistence is they just, when things get hard, they keep going. They're persistent about it, right? Everyone goes through hard times. I could have stopped after that stupid duplex deal. I could have stopped 100 times when I found out like that tenants don't pay rent sometimes and I couldn't afford it. I could have stopped, right? But persistent people like are almost like obstinate. Like, they're like, well, whatever, I'm going to keep doing it anyway. So consistency, persistence, focus, that's huge, right? There's so many shiny things in real estate. There's hundreds of ways to invest in real estate. People that are the best tend to go, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it the best. Like, I'm going to do direct mail marketing until it turns into deals. Or I'm going to do multifamily properties, and that's my niche. And yeah, you can eventually branch out. That's great. I branch out. I do a lot of stuff today. But I try to focus when I'm learning something until I master it one thing at a time. Also, that means like focus my attention during the day. Like if I'm spending 15 minutes working on my real estate business, I better be working on it, not texting, not Snapchatting and taking selfies and all that, right? There's so many things that distract us. So focus on the vision. They know where they're headed. So they focus on, you know, not just where are you doing today, but what's the plan? Like, what are you doing 10 years from now? Is this getting you closer or further away? So they have a vision. And then they take that vision and they work it down to a daily action plan. I see that a lot. So not just like, oh yeah, I want to get rich someday. It's like, no, in 10 years, 15 years, 5 years from now, I want to have $1 million in net worth. I want to own 100 units. I'm going to get there by doing small multifamily properties. Perfect. So again, they got the vision. With enthusiasm, in other words, they've got a good spirit about it. They're excited about it. They actually like real estate investing. If you don't like something, you're not going to do it. You're not going to be persistent, right? So they're enthusiastic about it. In other words, they listen to podcasts about it. Like, you know, when I talk to people, I'm like, well, you know, like they want to get into real estate. I'm like, well, what do you read or listen to or do about it? They're like, I don't know. My uncle wanted to do it and so I wanted to do it. You know, like, it's like they don't, like, yeah. If you love something, you're going to either listen to something, read something, talk to other people, attend meetups, whatever. And you don't do those things, you're probably not that enthusiastic about it. So where we are at? Enthusiasm, luck. I already talked about that. People attract luck to their life by the attitude that they have. And then because they have a purpose, almost every single person I know that's successful in real estate had a reason to become successful in real estate. They want to spend time with their family. They want to travel the world. They had a horrible job. They're either running from some pain or they're running towards some pleasure, but either way, they have a reason, a purpose more than just get rich. So those are the seven things that if I could summarize all up into one sentence, top performers consistently and persistently focus on the vision with enthusiasm and luck because they have a strong purpose.
So there you go. There's 250 plus episodes of Bigger Pockets, all smacked into one little. So we learned it all. Perfect. I love it though. So take us, what are three key factors to success for you? And I guess you've kind of just covered seven, but what are three key factors for your success habits?
Yeah. A big one for me, and they fall into these seven, but I'll expand on them. Big one for me is always moving the ball down the field. So to use a football analogy, right? So in football, the team who can better move the ball down the field is the one that always will win the game, no matter what. Like, if you can't move the ball down the field, you can never score, ever. So like, and the beautiful part about football is if you just can sit, like, let's say, are you a football fan? You Vikings fan?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, imagine every single time you got the ball, you moved it 3 yards. Every single time you got it 3 yards. Well, every 10 yards, it starts the count over again. So in other words, you just move it, got a first down. Do it again. Move it. You would always consistently score, and you just have like hundreds of points every game, right? Now, teams don't always make, you know, 3 yards every time. But if you did, so anyway, what I believe a big part of my success has come from is always identifying what is that next thing I got to do and then doing that. Because what I find, and this is true with everything in life, that most things in life that we want to do someday, it's really like a 5-minute task to kick the ball down the field a little further, or just to move the ball down the field. For example, if I think right now, what do I need to do for that 24 unit that I bought in Cincinnati to make it run better? I need to send an email to the property manager introducing him to my wife who's going to take over the like interaction. But I haven't done that in like 3 weeks. I've been thinking about how like, I need to manage it a little better and just keep, you know, like better tabs on what's going on there. But I know I don't have the time, so I need my wife to do it, and she wants to do it. So like all those 3 weeks, did it really take me 3 weeks to email the guy? No, it's going to take me 30 seconds to email him right when I get done with this call. But what we do is we fail to identify what that next thing is, and then we fail to put it on our calendar to get it done. So that's the first thing is like, yeah, identify what is next and do it. And to the second thing I'll say then is, taking time every week to figure out like where you're at in life on all your projects. So every Sunday night or Monday morning, depending, I sit down, I make a date with myself, and I just write down everything I got going on. I group it, I prioritize it, and I schedule out my week. Because otherwise, if you just live reactively to everyone else's calendar, you never get anything done. So I plot everything out ahead of time. And then like sometimes it just requires deep work, you know, just getting in there and just working. Like, so many people want things to happen easy, but I think I'm pretty good at just being pigheaded about just getting down and working for hours at a time if I need to get something done.
Yeah. So. Sometimes you got to grind.
Yeah. You got to grind sometimes. Yeah. And yeah, over time, I mean, like today I probably work on my real estate business like 5 hours a week. Like it just runs pretty smoothly without me doing much. Right. So then people listen to this podcast right now are going, oh, well, I guess I can work on my business 5 hours a week. Just like Brandon. No, you probably can't. Like, I mean, maybe you can, but like I got there after 12 years of grinding.
Yeah.
So don't listen to all the gurus that are like, and I'll put myself in the category, the people teaching this that have been doing it for 10, 15, 20 years. Like at the beginning, sometimes you got to hustle.
Yeah. I think a lot of people that want to be real estate investors think it's going to be just this, you know, piece of cake because really it's not that hard. You buy real estate for cheap, you rent it out and you rent it for more than your expenses. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do.
Pretty simple, but it's not always easy.
So it seems like, well, that should be easy. I can do that and just sit back and relax and go to Hawaii, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Why wouldn't I be able to do that? I don't think a lot of people don't realize the grind that you put in to get you to that place now that you can actually go to Hawaii. And I'm at Hawaii, you're still working. I mean, today you're on the podcast with me and I know you've done other things. So it's not like you just sit there and do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been it's funny, like being here, like I thought I would be more relaxed, but the time zone has made it really nice. I can get up at like 4 a.m. and just knock out a ton of stuff. And by noon I'm done. I put in actually like an 8-hour work day. And it's still just the middle of the day. That's been really, really nice. Just, getting stuff really
perfect. So tell us about your goals moving forward. What do you want to be doing in the next 10 years or so?
Yeah, I really like what you're doing, so I'm gonna keep doing that, copying you. I want to buy more multifamily, probably in the Midwest. I want to buy more mobile home parks. I think. I mean, this has been really a good experience so far, so I'm gonna keep experimenting with that. Those are pretty much the two things. I mean, I'm huge into lifestyle design and to having the kind of life I want to live. And that doesn't mean not working. I love working. In fact, people tend to die when they retire. Like there's like this stat I heard once and I wish I had it memorized, but it's basically like, yeah, people, when they stop working, they die within like 7 years or 5 years or whatever. Cause you stop working, you stop. So like my life will be work forever. Cause I like that, but it's going to be, hey, I'm going to work on this project cause I want to work on it. And it's fun. And, I'm going to go surf. And if I want to do that one day, you know, like, so yeah, continuing to maintain my lifestyle, probably moving to Hawaii. I'm putting that out there. See, like when I put that out there to the world, you know, people are going to make that happen. Yeah. And want to just keep buying multifamily real estate.
Cool. Yeah. I heard, I don't know. I heard the same type of thing about when you stop working, you die.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the exact stat, but it was something I was reading on people that retire early. You know, the some people that retire early end up dying earlier than people that work later.
Yep.
It's just like, wow, you'd think it'd be the opposite, but you got nothing to live for, or you get bored or yeah.
Yep. And I'm sure a lot of it too, you get bored. You watch, most people just spend their life watching TV. Like, you know, they retire, they sit on the couch 19 hours a day and they're watching TV and they're eating all day. And you know, the blood vessels don't pump real well that way.
Yeah. Yeah. What is a favorite book for you? No, other than the books you've written.
Sure. Fiction or nonfiction?
I like business books, but you can go ahead and say fiction too. It's awesome.
No, I'll go, you know, I could say Rich Dad Poor Dad, you know, because for a mindset reason. So I recommend that one. I really liked at the beginning of my career, I really liked the book called The Unofficial Guide to Real Estate Investing. I thought it was fantastic. It helped, like it laid out a plan, like almost like a hypothetical plan where if you do this and then buy this and then sell it every few years and then buy another one. And it was the first book ever that like really made it like me big picture realize the power of real estate and growth, you know, that you could scale up really big with real estate and have financial freedom and not have it at 70, but you could have it at 30 or younger, you know, like that got me pumped up. For non-business or non-real estate, even though it's semi-real estate, there's a book called Life and Air. It's like the word millionaire, but with the word life. Have you read that one?
No, I've heard of it though.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah. Really, really good. It's from the perspective of a real estate investor, but it's not about real estate at all. It's about like designing a life that you can be proud of living, that you enjoy living, and what that means. And it's a fiction book, so to speak, but with a message, kind of like E-Myth, which is another great, excellent book. Yeah, that one was fantastic. Life in Air, I recommend that all the time to people. Is figure out what you really want in your life and, you know, work towards that.
Cool. Yeah, as you get older, and I've noticed it myself, it's kind of maybe dorky, but that's kind of, you start thinking that way, like what do I want in life? What's going to be like, where's my purpose? And,
yep.
You know, you're not thinking as much about the money as you are about like how to make yourself and others around you happy.
Yep. Yeah, definitely true. Definitely.
Well, so last question before we wrap up, what is your definition of the secret of financial freedom?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm going to go financial free. I mean, I feel like the simple answer is being able to do what you want, how you want, when you want, with who you want. I've heard that said before.
Yeah.
And I think that works. You know, I'll expand a little bit. I think there's two levels of financial freedom. I think that there's level one is like your base financial freedom, which is I have enough income coming in to cover my bills. And then there's level two, which is I have enough income to coming in to do whatever the heck I want for the rest of my life, right? So I feel like I've hit number one. I'm not hit number two yet. And then you can get even deeper in that. There's secure and insecure or unsecure financial freedom, which is like I wrote a book and people buy that book and I get income from that. But, man, I could die tomorrow. Like I could – Bigger Pockets go under and people stop buying my book and now I have no more money, right? So I am very big into – level two financial freedom that's secure, which I think the most secure investment on the planet is real estate. So I want level two secured financial freedom so I can have the ability to do what I want, when I want, how I want, with who I want.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Brandon, I appreciate you being on the show. Before I let you go, how can people get in touch with you?
Sure. So, I mean, I'm on Bigger Pockets. You can find my profile there. It's pretty easy to find me. But my social media channel of choice is Instagram. I love it. I'm addicted. I'm like a 13-year-old girl on there. It's great. I spend a lot of time on Instagram. It's my Instagram handle is at Beardy Brandon. So like a beard with a Y, Beardy Brandon.
Okay. Okay. And then what's the name of the book that's on BP?
Sure. The biggest selling one is going to be the book on rental property investing. Also, there's a couple. There's one on managing, the book on managing rental properties, and the book on investing in real estate with no and low money down.
Okay.
That's the longest title in history.
So. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Brandon, I appreciate you being on the show and sharing with us your insight and your stories. Definitely fun. And have a fantastic time in Hawaii.
Well, thank you.
How long are you going to be there? You don't know, whenever.
I don't know. I got a one-way ticket out. I'm thinking probably like May. I'll go back, probably April or May.
Okay. And your daughter is how old?
20 months.
Okay. So she's just eating the sand and stuff?
Yeah, pretty much. She was terrified of the sand the first like week. She would not touch it, just screaming her head off. Now she'll play in it and we'll dig holes. So
yeah. We're
making progress. She'll be out on the surfboard next week, I'm sure.
I don't remember how old my son was, but he was just taking handfuls of sand. And
she hasn't eaten too much yet, which is good.
That's good. That's good. All right, man. Have a great rest of the day.
Hey, thanks, you too.
Okay, special thanks to Brandon Turner for coming on our show. Appreciate him spending the time with us, especially as he's in Hawaii vacationing, and he was goody enough to come in from Hawaii, tune in. He had like no internet and he was on his phone using his Wi-Fi. So awesome to have him on the show. Always fun to speak to Brandon, really fun guy to talk to. So three things that I took from this episode with Brandon. And of course, he gave us a ton of stuff. He gave us these seven things that he's learned the most from over 250 episodes with fantastic top-end real estate investors. So one of the things that I took was take time each week
and prioritize. And he talked about, you know, sitting down and really thinking about what you're doing that week. So you have a purposeful week. So take time and really prioritize. The other thing I really liked is he said, focus on the vision and work it into your daily action plan. So focus on your vision and work it into your daily action plan. And the last thing is enthusiasm. You have to be enthusiastic about what you're doing. If you don't like what you're doing and you can't get excited for it, you're really not, and you shouldn't be doing it, right? And you should try to find something else for you to do. So you've got to make sure you're enthusiastic. Learn how to be enthusiastic. And be, you know, for me, you have to be healthy. If you can't be healthy, if you can't, you know, take care of your own self, it's going to be hard to be enthusiastic. So what you do in one part of your life, I think, is really going to move over to the rest of your life. So make sure you're taking care of yourself. Make sure you're being enthusiastic about everything you're doing. And again, if you don't like what you're doing, figure out something else to do. This is the land of opportunity. You got plenty of opportunity. That is all. So I appreciate Brandon taking time from his day again in beautiful Hawaii and talking to me on a computer screen. I am Todd Dexheimer. I'm signing out. Oh, and before I check out, first, please go on to iTunes. And you got to go onto the search bar at the bottom of the screen on iTunes, and you can type in Pillars of Wealth Creation and give us a 5-star rating or review if you like our show. We would love to see that. If you have done that already, I really appreciate that. We are definitely, it's going to help grow our podcast and our brand. So if you can do that for us, if you haven't, that would be fantastic. That's Pillars of Wealth Creation on iTunes. Do that. 5-star rating and review would be awesome. And that's it. Have a fantastic rest of the week.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today.